Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, guests are victorious on Main Street and in the skies, great music coming to Pixar Pier, grad night dates are announced.
Pixar Pals is about to debut, Forky is a hazard, we discuss Galaxy's Edge after the reservation period, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 26, 2019. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our patrons. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
I think it's a good time, too, to talk about the fact that we just added on our live stream, if you're at the cast member level or above, we actually started a kind of movie club.
Yeah.
So we had
Disney
our first
movie club, of course.
Of course. So we added that on our last stream. We talked about The Sword and the Stone. We have already announced our next movie. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in getting on and chatting with us about our new movie that we picked, become a supporter and go in, look at the last video, or go into the chat, and we'll post it in there as well what movie we are going to be picking for the next one. So it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, have you booked your trip to the resort yet? If not, you should. Contact James and Mike over at Concierge, and they'll take care of your entire vacation from beginning to end. And as an added bonus, you'll get a free year of touring plans. Why wait? Check them out at concierge.com.
Well, if you would like to have a voice in the podcast and in our discussion topics, please head over to dlweekly.net/vote to register your choice for the next discussion topic. We've been getting all sorts of great responses, so please keep up the suggestions for the future of the show.
Now let's get to the news. As we spoke about last week on the show, we talked about the Main Street Cinema selling merchandise. One of the suggestions that we talked about has actually happened. They have removed the merchandise and replaced it with benches on the inside so guests can rest and catch a few shorts. The curtains have also been pulled back at the entrance to hint to guests that there is actually something to see inside.
I'm really excited that they're trying to do something with this area to pep it up. I mean... I wasn't okay with the first decision of, let's just put merchandise in there. That'll bring them in. I didn't understand that thought process, but I'm glad that they realized it wasn't working, it wasn't popular, and so they moved on and tried something different. So I'm very happy about that.
I am also very happy about that. And actually, I saw online a couple different places where people were talking about which was our other suggestion, which is that kind of elevated area in the middle about putting some type of food available in here. Like we had talked about putting some popcorn or something. So I think that they could easily do that. One of the suggestions I saw I did not like. They were talking about moving over the ticket booth.
Oh, yeah, and putting it in the front.
Yeah, no, it can go inside, I think. And I think that that would be something good where they could actually make a little bit of money but still be appropriate for what it's supposed to be. There's tons of seats in here. I'm really excited by this. I'm glad that they listened to the guests.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I saw mentioned online, which I thought would be a great idea and kind of really draw some people in, was have specialty popcorns here, stuff that you can't find other places in the resort. So then it becomes like a go-to if you want, you know, whatever specific thing that is that they're selling. You'd even have AP lines probably trying to get whatever good stuff they have. And if they have different release schedules or maybe special popcorn buckets that they only sell out of this location, that could be something.
I like that idea. Huh. That's a good idea.
Some new details were announced this week about the Emotional Whirlwind. The composer for the movie has composed 5 new tracks for the attraction for each of the emotions. Michael Giacchino composed the music for the Incredicoaster as well. I apologize. I'm sure I just butchered Michael's name.
I don't know if I just don't remember or what, but
I love the music for Inside Out.
The Incredicoaster, I didn't know that he had done that. It's nice that when you have a movie or something where you have the original composer come back and make something special for the attraction. There are some pictures we have linked in the show notes that Disney has actually taken of, you know, behind the walls For this attraction, and I think it looks really good at night.
So neat.
This is definitely going to be one of those, like, I don't think I'll ride it during the day. I think I'll wait for the night, because I think it's going to just be such a more interesting experience.
The whole, everything, it looks like, lights up for this attraction. So, it's very fun, very colorful during the day, but it looks like a totally different experience at night.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to ride it both, but I think I'm going to enjoy it better at night. But I enjoy a lot of things better at night, because I like lighting and stuff like that. So. Well, the 2019-2020 school year has yet to begin, but Disney is already releasing the dates for grad nights. In total, there are 9 days in May and 7 days in June. There are 3 ticket packages for grads. The first package, priced at $89 a person, is just the grad night at DCA starting at 9 p.m. The second package, priced at $119, gives grads access to DCA all day before the grad night exclusive party. Finally, the third option, priced at $179 per student, allows access to Disneyland and California Adventure all day, then the exclusive party at DCA. Registration opens in the fall. For more information, check out DisneylandGradNight.com. Night is N-I-T-E, by the way.
It's so, so crazy to me that grad nights are just wrapping up, and here they're announcing next year's already. Just time flies.
It does fly. And they have a lot of these different dates. I mean, I guess when they want to get in early to make sure that when you're thinking about your senior year coming up and you want to do a graduation party,
well, gives you time to plan, gives you time to save.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and for these prices and stuff, they also say that Galaxy's Edge will be part of this too.
Very cool.
If you buy the Disneyland ticket, so pretty cool.
In a move that was not expected, the Mandara Spa, the Grand California Hotel and Spa, will be closing on July 10th. This is a permanent closure of the spa to make room for a future experience for guests. This may result in the hotel losing its fourth diamond, as it has been said that this is a requirement for a 4-diamond rating. They're also going to have to change the name.
Right.
I realized that I was reading that.
At the Grand California Hotel.
California Hotel and Spa. So it's just going to be the hotel.
I never added the and spa on when I talked about it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like it. I don't know. I just never called it that.
A lot. Well, right? And we don't even ever say hotel. We just say the Grand Californian.
That's true. That's true. I saw online somewhere that said that they would be losing the fourth diamond. I did some research trying to look into what 4 diamonds mean. And there's not really, it's not what you would think. It doesn't mean, the diamonds don't mean that, like,
it has this, that,
it has this, thing, that, or the other, or that it's like whatever. So you could have a really affordable, like, 1-diamond hotel. Was one of the examples that AAA gave, was, you know, that they do have some really good budget friendly stuff at the 1 and 2 diamond level. So just because you have a diamond doesn't mean that you're outrageously expensive, I guess. Because that's what I think when I think of, like, diamond things. I'm like, oh, these must be pricey. But it goes up to 5 diamonds. So I'm interested. I know they were talking about that new hotel that they were going to build that they ended up canceling was going to be another 4-diamond hotel. So I think it'd be a shame if they lost the 4th diamond because of this. Although, maybe nobody's going to it. I mean, why else would they be getting rid of it? I'm just not sure.
I'm very curious to see what the future experience is. I haven't seen anybody that even has any sort of a hunch or a thought as to what they could be putting in this space instead. So I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, especially something like the spa that probably makes them an okay amount of money per guest.
Definitely.
So it's got to be something that's going to do better there, I guess. Well, and a great piece of news for me, part of the Pixar Pals parking structure has opened to guests. The tram loading area is now processing guests heading into and out of the parks. The former load and unload areas have gone behind walls to undergo transformation into the new look. The new security area and tram loading is way more detailed and decorated than I had anticipated. It looks great. The parking section of the structure should open anytime now.
So let's be honest, I think this really was the thing you were most looking forward to with the new parking structure, is what was going to happen to the beloved tram and how was that going to get incorporated. So
correct.
This was definitely very exciting. It looks so, so cool down there. I think they did a great job with theming. It's very, I don't know, it's like modern, but it's very Disney still. It's just wonderful. And it's very open. Very, very open.
I think the first thing that surprised me when I saw this was I did not expect it to be lit up like this.
Yeah.
I expected it kind of like Mickey and Friends had transformed into, where I thought they'd have like some banners hanging from the top. They'd have like that sterile kind of lighting kind of showing that kind of thing. And that like that was kind of it, and you'd have like a little security entrance. But this has got like really nice, like they got some blue lighting and some white lighting and some interesting little fixtures that look really classy with some Mickeys on it. They've got the different characters in this cool like artistic kind of like circles, bubbles on the wall. It just looks really nice. There's nice seating. One of the things I was really happy about was it's really nice to have this in a covered area because then it keeps you out of the elements. So whether it's raining or it's hot, keeps you out of the sun. You're not waiting for your trams. I'm really enjoying this. I'm curious to see when the rest of it's going to open, when the parking ramp's going to open. And of course, the bridge is not going to open. We reported earlier that it's not going to open probably till September. They got a lot of work going on there. But I'm really glad to see that, that they're getting really close to getting this done. And I think they did a fantastic job. It was way cooler than I ever expected it would be.
Yeah.
I know you've never ridden the tram.
I've never ridden it, but I think it looks cool.
Yeah,
I think it looks cool, but I don't have anything to compare it to, so I'm just really happy at how it looks.
Yeah, well, so maybe it'll make it worth it for you to go over there now because you at least look at it.
One thing that stood out to me was the load, like how they have the loading stuff. It feels very much definitely like the first attraction of the day because you have the little partitioned off areas. So, you know, if you're going to be in row A, B, C, D, you know, here's your little sectioned off line to go into. So I don't know. It looks like it's pretty easy. Hopefully it helps with the flow of getting people onto the tram quicker and making it less confusing.
Yeah, the last time I was there, they kind of didn't have these little dividers like you were talking about. They kind of just had the area, and then on the ground they had like some like different colored concrete that kind of gave you the illusion there was lines.
Sure.
But it sucked because sometimes you'd be going to get in, you know, in one row, and people would like cut over from the other thing because they didn't know it was like a line.
Yeah, it wasn't. These are very clear. I mean, you've got the railing. There's no accidentally getting in the wrong area.
The other thing that I'm surprised about with this too was they're kind of giving up quite a few parking spaces to allow this.
This is huge. It's basically, it looks to me like, I mean, maybe it's not, but it looks to me like it's basically the first level of this new parking structure.
Yeah, I don't think it's that far. It's probably a good third of the first thing. It does look like the security screening and stuff is going to be a lot smoother and stuff here, which is going to look great. One thing I will tell our guests that are going when this opens, that's kind of a downside. So a lot of people can easily remember the color that they're on, like what level, but make sure you know what character you're on because the colors are the same between both parking structures. So if you're on, you know, Minnie or Mickey, let's say you're on Mickey in Mickey and Friends, it translates over to Cars in Pixar Pals, but they're both red.
Well, yeah, depends on how you remember things, I guess. Because if you can at least remember, well, Pixar Pals, green.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's the whole point, though, is you have to remember Pixar Pals. Like, don't just think, oh, I'm on the green level. Green and then, level. Like, oh, geez, which garage did I park in?
Yeah. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, because they're huge. I mean, you're going to take a while to find your car. So, yeah. Otherwise, I think it looks great. They've knocked out of the park. I'm really excited to see the tram area that has been the onload and offload area get, because that's the part that they're working on now. And then I want to see them put in all the trees and stuff they're going to put in, because I think this is going to look fantastic.
Plus they've got that nice giant Luxo ball that they've installed too. It looks like it's kind of over by where the escalators
for the Pixar
come
Pals
down. And then the other thing too, of course, I don't know why this is always so exciting, but the garbage cans. Did you notice the garbage cans in these photos? They are Luxo themed as well. They've got a red and a yellow and a blue stripe with the Luxo ball right in the middle. Very vibrant. Well, I guess not all of them, but very vibrant. So it's very easy to spot where the next trash receptacle is.
Right. Now, somebody pointed out, and I'm interested to see if this is the case, if they're going to put some type of Mickey Mouse head on the other side by Mickey and Friends to kind of level out the like iconic little structure so you could take a photo op there. People were saying, too, that this will be people's first picture at the park, is that they'll probably take a picture next to the ball. That's pretty exciting.
I'm wondering if it lights up at night. Do you think
I'm sure that I don't think it glows.
Or do you think they have things?
I think that they have lights that illuminate it. We'll have to,
at the very least, lights that shine up. But it'd be cool if the ball itself glowed. Even though June is coming to a close, Soarin' Over California will continue to take flight until the end of August. The reason for the extension was the overwhelming guest feedback. As an added bonus, annual pass holders can enjoy Soarin' for an extra hour on Thursday nights from June 27th through the end of July.
So this is two wins for guests so far, because we had the removing merchandise from the Main Street Cinema, and they've kept Soarin' Over California.
Well, and bonus, annual pass holders can go on Thursday nights and get in and enjoy it for a little while longer, too.
I wonder why they did that, necessarily. Like, that just seems like an odd, like, let's just leave this one thing open an extra hour.
You know, I wonder if they were worried about wait times, if that's their, if they were worried that so many APs that really loved this version of the attraction, if they would be bogging down their daytime wait times for this attraction. So they figured if we extend an hour and we make it only for APs, maybe that will help the general public get onto the attraction sooner. Just an idea.
No, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought about that. But I'm glad that the Disney's listening to guests. That's all I gotta say.
Yes, definitely.
Well, the new Forky plush character from Toy Story 4 has been pulled from the shelf due to a concern that smaller children could choke on his smaller eye. The larger eye is sewn to the character, but the smaller eye was only glued on and was easy to pop off. No word on when the plush will return to the parks.
This is not funny, but I think it is very fitting for the character, the homemade character, that one of his eyes that was glued on pops off. I just,
it happened in the movie.
It is not funny that it is a choking hazard, but I just think of all the characters for this to happen to, that's perfect. It wouldn't work for Woody. That wouldn't be fitting. But it's just, I feel like it's just Forky. That's just how he is.
So the funny thing, too, is it wasn't just the eye. Apparently, the posable arms can also come off and become a choking hazard.
Which, again, very true to the movie. They were a little bit too realistic with this toy.
Yeah. I will say for anybody
is cute.
For anybody who has not seen Toy Story 4 yet, I think it's worth seeing.
Yes.
I liked Forky. I was concerned I wasn't going to like Forky, but I liked Forky.
he was good comic relief.
He was only a spaz for a little while.
Yes, yes.
But it was good.
Was he, though? I don't know. He was kind of spazzy the whole movie.
Yeah.
He was his own unique self, but I loved him for it. A little piece of Wakanda has come to the Hollywood backlot. A new meet and greet for the Black Panther has gone up in the corner of the area that also houses the Captain Marvel meet and greet. The new area is fairly simple, but looks pretty good. The area where you meet T'Challa is in a shaded section, which will be very nice to take a picture without the sun in your eyes.
I saw this online, and I was very happy that they added another meet and greet. And I thought this one was really well done.
Well, I believe you could meet him before, but it was just kind of in a different area. So I'm glad that he's got this nice public permanent area now.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice because it's shaded. So it's good for the cast members that have to be in the costumes. And it's good because you're not squinting trying to take a picture.
Yeah. Well, and the theming's really great, too. It looks very... It reminds me kind of the lab that they have in Wakanda, how it's very modern and techie looking. Very cool.
Yeah, this looks really nice, I thought. It's simple.
See, and
but
I was
effective.
Just impressed with the Panther logo and the yellow. Wrong thing, but this very much reminded me of Transformers for
it
some
did.
Reason.
Yeah,
the Black Panther logo. It looks very nice, though, very crisp, very clean, but it reminded me a little bit of the Transformers.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that they have some Black Panther stuff in there, though.
Yes, definitely.
And in an area that's soon going to become Marvel Land.
I'm still wondering what's going to happen to those poor monsters over in Monsters, Inc. Because they're kind of getting crowded out by all these superheroes.
I don't know how much longer that's going to be there, unfortunately. But that's okay. As long as they show up somewhere else, right?
Yes. Maybe they can find a home over in Pixar Pier.
Oh, that'd be a good idea. Well, Ballast Point in Downtown Disney is celebrating the summer by allowing guests to keep the pint on purchases from the Sculpin Brewery, but only on Tuesdays through Labor Day. There will also be some related discounts. Sculpin is used in several of the restaurant's dishes.
I thought this was a very neat promotion that they were doing. So you buy the beer and you get to keep the glass.
Oh,
so I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if it's always going to be the same glass, if they're going to have a different glass each week or each month, or if they, you know, somehow they'd rotate what glass it is that you get to keep to kind of entice you to come back. That'd be a great idea. I don't know if that's real, but that's my good idea for them. But I think it's a unique offering, something that's kind of make them stand out and set them apart.
Yeah. Plus, like the glasses.
Beer, yes, and I was going to say beer, this is going to sound bad, but beer snobs, kind of once they find something they like, I feel like my boyfriend and his friends are kind of beer snobs. So once they find a beer that they like, they kind of want to keep something with them about it, I guess would be a good way to say it. So a lot of beer people will collect like the growlers. A lot of people collect pint glasses. It's kind of, I don't know. I get it. It's like the trading pin of beers. Not really.
Does he use those? I know a lot of people use like those. Does he have an app on his phone? Because like, producer James has an app on his phone where he can put in and rate it. And
yeah,
write
and you can like
review.
Write notes so you remember what you thought of the beers. Yes. Yeah. Yep, he does.
Yeah. So Disneyland seems to be becoming a place that you could use that more frequently than you could have before.
You could. Well, over at Trader Sam's, you can now pick up your choice of two Dole Whip souvenir mugs. The two mugs look similar to each other, with one being a fluorescent yellow and the other being clear plastic. The clear version is the virgin Dole Whip, and the yellow one is spiked with rum. They have a nice tropical design on the outside, perfect for sipping by the pool or out on the patio.
Yeah, I was just thinking, looking at this, I was like, I'd love to get one of these. And actually, in one of the pictures that we have linked in our show notes, it's right there by the pool. Mm-hmm. And it just looks so refreshing. And,
with
of course, it's Dole
straw.
Whip. Oh, makes me really want a Dole Whip. Really want a Dole Whip. But yeah, it's a little bright for me. But I don't know. You like Dole Whips. Is this something you're excited about?
I do
about?
Like Dole Whips. I'm not as excited about this as I should be. I don't know why. They have such cool themed mugs everywhere else that are, I don't know, they look like wood carvings or something. So it's a little sad to me that these are just plastic and see-through.
Sure.
So I was kind of hoping for something kind of like our Hatbox Ghost mug, like that kind of a style.
Oh, yeah.
Even the ones that are over in Olga's Cantina, you know, I kind of like how they look rustic, I guess would be a good way of saying it. Whereas this one doesn't look rustic. It looks, I don't know, it's not something I keep on my shelf, I guess.
It looks cheaper. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, ever wonder what one of Thanos' Infinity Stones tastes like?
Oh, all the time.
I feel like it's going to be kind of earthy and that kind
earthy
of, yeah.
And hard.
Yeah. Try it in a churro. The Power Stone Churro takes your classic dessert and covers it in blackberry flavor sugar, icing, and purple rock candy. It's sure to leave your hands and tongue purple. I love purple.
Ooh, and your teeth, too. That sounds super sugary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a churro covered
in blackberry sugar,
covered
icing.
A little more sugar. Top
so purple
sugar.
Rock candy, that just sounds like crunchy.
I just love that it's going to turn you purple, the color of Thanos.
Oh,
that's true.
Didn't even think about that. Look at you, producer James.
Yeah, I think I would pass on this one. This is a little too sugary for me.
Yeah, I don't like.
It looks beautiful, though.
I don't necessarily think it's too sugary, but like, I don't like sprinkles on cupcakes. I don't like the sugar crystal. Sprinkles,
sure.
Like, because it's too crunchy, and I feel like it's I don't like it.
So these, yeah, so
I do
these
like
are
the
rock
color.
Candy, so they're very large sugar crystals, basically.
I do like the color. I will say that.
I even though it's not something that's completely up my alley, I just like that they're having fun with these simple classic treats and just kind of putting different spins on them, keeping them interesting, theming them for different things, and then also just the fact that. Yes, we have this one, but you have to go to this one specific churro cart to get it.
Sure.
And you can only get the Thanos churro over in the correctly themed area. It's not like you're going to find the Thanos churro over in Fantasyland or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I do like what they're doing with it. I think it's fun. The Bubba Wamba Family Farms Light Up Souvenir Sipper has finally debuted in Galaxy's Edge at the milk stand. The collectible is $24.99 and includes your choice of blue or green milk. Purchases are limited to one per guest per transaction. So not only do you get to choose if you want blue or green milk, this sipper apparently also lights up to either a blue or a green. So even if you have water in it, you could pretend and everybody could think that you are drinking the infamous blue milk.
I have seen pictures and video of people being in Galaxy's Edge, and there are a lot of people that have these.
They look huge.
I think
too.
I would buy one of these.
They look large.
Even if I don't want the blue milk.
You know, I do. I like it. It looks like their version of like the classic like milkman glass bottle type.
Like an old school milk jug.
Yeah, like the old school milk bottle things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
I do too. A Lion King-themed Ocarina Sipper is making its first appearance at the resort for annual pass holders only. The mug appears to be made of wood with themed carvings in it. APs can find it in the AP corner through September 2nd while supplies last. This mug is the first available This mug was first available at Animal Kingdom in Florida.
Okay. It is a good thing that we are not annual pass holders and that I cannot get my hands on one of these there. Because I would get it and I would attempt to play it. Because the handle is an actual instrument. It comes with little sheet music and you can learn to play. It comes with
sheet music?
Yes. It's right there. It does. It comes with sheet music. I think that is so fun. I would spend way too much time trying to figure it out and get myself way too distracted.
So we need to find
it's an interactive sipper.
So we need to find an annual pass holder while we're there and get
would like to get a whatever this, what was it called again? I can't even say it. A flute mug. That's what I'm going to call it.
The ocarina mug?
Ocarina mug. That's really fun to say. I also love the extra AP bonuses that are over in the AP corner now too. They have this really cool pin that's to the Lion King and it's themed to, you know, the Lion King show that's there. It's not themed to the Lion King like the
movie,
the movies. And I love the annual pass holder magnet that they're giving out to them too. It's just a generic Disneyland Resort AP annual pass holder with a nice little
magnet,
Mickey head. Yeah, one of those oval magnets that you put on the back of the car.
You know, I thought I saw somebody complaining that Disneyland didn't have any good annual pass like magnets for the car because Disney World has a bunch of different ones.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They listened again.
Yeah, they're good listeners.
Now we take a trip to Trivia Land where producer James tries to stump us with some Disney trivia. He's going to read us a question. We're going to attempt to answer them and then he will give us the correct answer after our discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, James?
Lots of listener questions. It should be good times. Ooh,
that's either really good news or not so good news.
Or maybe
sometimes they're nice and sometimes, ooh, they've got good questions.
I think we got a nice mix of everything. So our first question this week comes from listener Elizabeth Kay, and she wants to know, what is the first Disney attraction to incorporate audio animatronics?
In the tiki 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 room.
I concur.
You have to finish the song.
In the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
Wow, you went much further than I thought.
Question number two comes from Dylan H, and we are once again reprising an audio question.
Oh, this was good last week.
So, the question is, what restaurant can you find this version of Winnie the Pooh?
No.
And is it Disneyland?
It is at the resort, yes.
Oh, at the resort. No, but like, is it in Disneyland Park?
No, it's in DCA.
Oh. So it wouldn't be at the Lamplight Lounge, because that's all Pixar stuff. No, they don't do Pixar. Oh, that's probably at the Carthay Circle.
Ooh, yes.
Our third question comes from Barbara B., and she asks, what is the significance of the address 1401 Flower Street?
I feel like I should know this. Like, something's tickling something in my brain, but I don't remember what it was.
My head is going to Bambi. I think it has something to do with Bambi and that cute little skunk.
I'm smelling something.
1401. I know 1901 was Walt's birth year, but what's 1401? Do you have a hint? Do you want a hint?
Sure, we can have a hint.
It is not physically related to something in the park.
Oh. I am stumped. I don't know.
I'm stumped too, but I'm just going to talk. We're just going to stick with Bambi. I don't know, because I'm kind of now I'm wondering if it's like Walt's like street address of his childhood home or something like that.
Because they are restoring that, but I don't think it was Flower Street. But you could be right. 1401, something is just...
Bambi / Walt's childhood home. Final answer.
Okay. Question four.
Question four from Ryan H. Similar to Galaxy's Edge partial completion on opening day, Disneyland was also not complete due to a trade strike in California. So two-part question. Who was on strike? and what was left unfinished?
It was the plumbers.
The plumbers.
Because they said, do you want water fountains or bathrooms?
Mm-hmm.
And so they did bathrooms. So water fountains. So
plumbers and water fountains.
Yeah. Are you impressed with that? Maybe not.
Are you impressed? Okay, not.
Well, we'll find out how impressive that answer actually is, or if I get to laugh at you a little bit more after this week's discussion topic.
Well, as you guys are all very well aware, this week, just days ago, was Galaxy's Edge was open to the public. So that means you did not have to have a reservation to get into the land. So we're going to kind of talk about what has happened, kind of what they've learned, kind of some scary things that are coming out of this. All sorts of stuff to talk about. Kind of a little Galaxy's Edge update. Because it doesn't seem to me that it is this. You're not going to be experiencing the same thing now as you had before if you did have a reservation.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some things. Let's start with the bad. The bad stuff is, as of the recording of this, which is Tuesday, June 25th, mm-hmm. Galaxy's Edge has been open 2 days now.
Mm-hmm.
The bad is that there are a lot of things that are just sold out.
Yes, they're having issues with, first of all, they're opening, which I think is kind of good, but also backfired. They opened the land a little bit earlier than the 8 a.m. opening. So the
right.
8 a.m. is when the land is supposed to open to the public. They've been opening up a little bit sooner than that for people to go in and shop, which is kind of not working out so great because a lot of people, before even the 8 a.m. opening time has come, they're selling out of things. And so we've kind of talked about this before, but it's a two-part issue. We've talked about this before, how they don't continuously restock the shelves throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible for something to be sold out today. You go back tomorrow and there it is on the shelf. It all depends on timing, right? So if you want to get something, you try and get their first thing. Well, they're selling out of those very cool metal cards, those metal gift cards.
Yep.
Or credit cards very excited about. They're selling out of the Kyber crystals, which is kind of shocking because I feel like that is kind of you just kind of want to test the waters of Galaxy's Edge merchandise.
Right.
The Kyber crystals, the way to go.
Well, they're one of the least expensive things.
Least expensive, but they're also just very, very cool. If you're into Star Wars, Kyber crystals are like a huge, it's a big thing in that universe. So very cool to have. Plus the fact that you can plug them into your lightsabers and
the holocrons,
multi-use. So those are the two big things as far as merch goes that are selling out right away. Now, we aren't certain if this means that they're just selling out for that day right away or if the actual reserves back in their warehouses are selling out. I kind of get the feeling that it's more of a warehouse issue, though, and not just a what they're bringing out for that day issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we have seen online already is that the Rancor Tooth Beer Flight Board that you can buy for $75 in Oga's, is sold out. There's been some people online that have talked to cast members, and they are saying that it is sold out for the rest of summer. So I assume
Which is crazy. So that means the warehouse is out, not just the stock for the cantina for that day.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that's interesting, you talked about the Kyber crystals. I saw this a couple different places online today, was that at Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities, when you get a Kyber crystal with your holocron, those are actually unpackaged now, and that they are supposedly, according to sources and cast members, they're actually being taken from the Savvy's Workshop stores or supply.
Supply.
Because mm-hmm. when you get your Kyber crystal in Savvy's Workshop, it is not in a container. It comes out in this kind of stabilizing thing, and you got to pick it up.
It's all part of the experience. Yeah. So they don't have shelf packaging on them.
Of course, we knew as of a few days ago that some of the more popular colors that are not standard for Kyber crystals had already been selling out. So like the white and the rare black ones that you could find that were in the red, You'd have to like find, because a certain amount of the red ones were actually black, and like that was like really sought after. And then the orange, I think they're orange ones.
Yellow.
They're yellow, but they look kind of orange when it lights up. But those were not as common, so people wanted those. You know, because everybody knows, you know, lightsabers, you know, you got your blue and your green and your red, and, you know, and purple, and people are very excited for those. Well, I think Disney stocked up on those thinking those will be popular. So those weren't running out. But now, apparently, when you go into Doc Ondar's to buy additional kyber crystals for your lightsabers, the shelves are empty. So that's disheartening, I guess. I did not expect them to run out of stuff so soon, especially with it opening to the public this week. I would have thought that they would have seen how quickly things were going when they had the reservation period, and they'd be Johnny on the spot to order cases of more
the
stuff.
The thing that makes me a little sad, and you know, I have to go there. I'm sorry that I do, but how much of this stuff are people buying for themselves, or are they buying to resell? I really hope that's not the case, but unfortunately, I'm getting the feeling that perhaps it is.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate, but at the same time, like, Disney should have enough stock. They knew that this was going to be extremely popular. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they need to make sure that there is enough supply to meet the demand for it, because they knew it was going to be a big, big deal. Some good news is on the first day of it being open on Monday of this week, the reservation system worked really well for the boarding parties, to the point where day two today, they didn't use the boarding parties at all.
It's amazing. So we still in a blackout time that a lot of passes, whether it's cast member or some of the annual pass holder passes, are blocked out or blacked out of Disneyland. So obviously that's helping with the crowds. But the other bonus to this too is, I think we still had a lot of people that were very nervous about, oh gosh, this is, you don't want to go right when it opens because everybody's going to be there. The waits are going to be awful. So I think a lot of people maybe scared themselves out of going. So a lot of people are kind of trying to steer clear of the Disneyland Resort right now because they're trying to avoid the crowds. But because of that, Disneyland is, it's crazy to me. I don't want to say it's a ghost town, but there are super, super low wait times. We actually, right before we recorded the show, just out of curiosity, pulled up our Disney app and wanted to check and see what some wait times were. It was only a 60-minute wait time for Galaxy's Edge, the
Smuggler's Run.
All I could think was Rise of the Resistance. You're going to be waiting a longer time than 60 minutes for Rise of the Resistance.
As of 7 p.m. on Tuesday when we're recording this, it is a 60-minute
wait. Still a 60-minute wait. And then even other popular attractions. I believe it was a 20-minute wait for the Matterhorn. It's a 30-minute wait for Space Mountain right now. I think it is kind of funny that we have a couple of our very popular Fantasyland rides are at 25 minutes. We have Peter Pan's Flight and the Storybook Land Canal Boats. But things like the Jungle Cruise, it is a 5-minute wait right now, you guys. Pirates, 5-minute wait. And of course, we have the very, very, I don't know, appropriately timed wait over the Haunted Mansion of 13 minutes. So
5 minutes for Splash Mountain right now.
5 minutes for Splash. Just crazy. Just crazy. Makes me wish I had that teleporter up and running. So looking over at DCA, it's only a 50-minute wait for Cars for the Radiator Springs Racers. That's just crazy. And 40 minutes for the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower, and only 35 minutes right now for Soarin'.
Wow. I wish I was there, and I'm hoping that people stick away. Now, here's a question for you that I wanted to make sure that I asked on the podcast, because I was talking to producer James about this earlier, and I don't remember what he said. Maybe he can pipe in and tell me what the thought was on this again. But we're going to start with Teresa, which is, do you think, what do you think is causing such low crowds for Galaxy's Edge? Do you think that all the hardcore fans saw it during the reservation period and they're kind of done with it for now? Do you think that it's not as much of a draw as they thought it was going to be, so wait times and everything is lower? Or do you think that everybody was afraid and are staying away? Or, fourth option, do you think everybody's waiting for Rise of the Resistance and that's when we're going to see the crazy crowds?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think you have a section. I think it's the perfect storm is what it is. I think you have a section that were the diehard Star Wars fans that could not wait to get in, so they got in right away during the reservation period.
Sure.
You also have a group of thinkers like us you and you guys more so, that are, yes, you're Star Wars fans, but you were very nervous about it being just slammed and cram-packed. So you were deciding, you know, we decided to wait. Even if our trip wasn't going to be around D23, we wouldn't have gone right away.
Correct.
We would have waited because we were worried that the crowds were going to be horrendous. And then I do think you also have a section of people that want to, yes, they're very anxious to experience the new land, but they want to experience it as a whole land. They don't want to just do this phase one, phase two thing. They want to see they want to experience it in its entirety. So I just think it's a perfect storm.
Hmm. Producer James?
I don't think it's not as popular. That's my fourth answer.
Well, I was just, because that's what I was wondering. I was just wondering if, like, did they totally overestimate how popular this was going to be? And all the people that really wanted to see it saw it during the reservation, and now they don't care.
Well, and the other thing, I'm going to have an option five on this. You still have a lot of people blacked out for annual pass holders.
True.
How many annual pass holders are going to buy a ticket just to get into Galaxy's Edge? I mean, if you're going to wait because you're an annual pass holder. It's not that big of a deal. You live close by, I would assume. So, you know, you've got that section too, because cast members, remember, have been blacked out for this period of time as well.
Sure.
You might be a person that's more of like a Disney Parks purist. And so you don't like seeing these non-original Disney properties coming in. So you look at this as an opportunity to go to the park when you know it's going to be probably as full as it will be, especially with the holiday week coming up. And a lot of the crowd is going to be going to the new shiny part of the park because that's what's drawing a lot of people there. So that's going to take them away from a lot of popular attractions, which will, as we see today, lead to really short wait times. And they're going to be able to hit up a lot of the attractions that they are there to see. And they don't need to go to see Galaxy's Edge on their trip.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I was looking at it. We reported months ago before we knew that they were going to do reservations and all that stuff. We reported that like 200,000 people plus were going to show up at the park and there was going to be chaos. And it wasn't. And well, so you know,
I think that has something to say with how well Disney planned this too.
Yeah.
I think they planned it a little bit too well, perhaps.
Let's compare it real quick.
Sure. Because
the other big news in the theme park industry this last few weeks has been Hagrid's motorbike attraction out in Universal Islands of Adventure. It has gone like as bad as you could expect ever to have an attraction open. So first day when they opened it up, they had like 10 plus hour waits.
Oh.
And then within a couple days of it being opened with these long waits and the attraction going down a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They sent out notifications to people saying that the attraction actually will not open every day until midday.
Goodness, yeah.
And so they're doing all this stuff. And then when it does open, they're still having 3-4 hour long waits.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not looking good for Universal. Imagine, I mean, compared to what Galaxy's Edge has done, which I think has gone off beautifully.
I don't think it could have gone better, honestly. Yes, it's had its hiccups, which, I mean, is to be expected. But in the big scheme of things, very minimal hiccups, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I can't get my Kyber crystal that I want in the correct color. Am I bummed? Yes. But I still got to pilot the Millennium Falcon. Whereas this, I could have waited in line for 3 hours to get on this new coaster in Universal just for it to go down, and I don't even get to get on it, you know? So that's crazy. It makes me very happy that Disney is, I feel like they're looking out for us, the park goers, and they're trying to make this the best experience that they can for us. I'm not necessarily saying that Universal isn't, but it seems to me like Universal rushed into it, whereas Disney, so much planning, much planning went into this that they very much, I never even thought about it, but it's crazy to me. I have not heard of Smuggler's Run going down yet. Have you? Which, I mean,
I don't think so.
It's a brand new attraction. Why hasn't it? You know, there's always, like I said, there's always going to be hiccups. So it just proves it, you know, it just goes to show how much testing and how much back work these Imagineers did before they opened up the land.
The good thing that Disney does with this is if you understand how Smuggler's Run works, there's a couple centrifuges and all that stuff that goes on it. So even if one goes down, you still can work. Hagrid's is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So if something stops along the track, the entire attraction is down. Mm-hmm. So I do want to say that they were yesterday Disney was handing out things as you pulled in the parking garage that said they gave a little handout explaining that you should get the Disneyland app, that you should launch the app to find out all the stuff. They walked you through the process to tap this, tap that, and you'll receive a notification. On the other side, if you're not using the app, they told you where to go for FastPass locations. So the Haunted Mansion, Indiana Jones, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, and the Matterhorn area all distributed tickets that you could come back.
The boarding group ticket.
So you got a little Galaxy's Edge ticket that said what boarding group you were in.
There's something about those. I like the actual paper FastPass tickets. I really like the paper FastPass boarding group for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, because then you can say, I was there this day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say what time you're going in, but still, it's just cool. Like, here's my little, this is my ticket to Galaxy's Edge, basically.
Right.
I like it.
And they had nice signage up all over the park pointing you to where you could go to join a boarding group.
Beautifully themed, too.
Mm-hmm. So that was done really well. There was a whole section of on all the new digital
the boards
they
also
had the current status and what groups were going in. They had some signs saying when they expected certain groups to go through, like when you were going to get a pass, they would tell you, we expect late morning, early afternoon. So you had an idea when you were getting your boarding pass when that would be. So I think they did a really nice job. So let's go back to something sad. We've talked about this a couple of times now on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on Twitter tweeted that they talked to a cast member at Docking Bay 7. And they said they started out with 4,000 metal sporks.
Those are pretty, pretty cool sporks.
They have 100. And they said, because, they have to stay in character. So they said something on our planet called eBay
is why we only have 100 sporks left. That's crazy. That is so many sporks. Mm-hmm. So many sporks. Mm-hmm. 4,000.
And they're metal. They're not plastic. They're metal.
They looked very, very nice.
So to add to the list of things that we already reported that were sold out, so the Sabacc deck, so that's the card game that Lando likes playing.
Oh.
Sabacc. That Lando plays to lose the Falcon to Han, basically. There's some Batu refrigerator magnets. There's a Batuan gift card. That's the thing we were talking about, the metal gift card. All the droid personality chips.
That's sad.
Legacy lightsabers. So these are the ones that are like the Darth Luke's Maul and Luke. Yep. Yeah. And all the Kyber crystals.
So sad. And that we got that information from the Laughing Place.
The monkey lizards came back in stock, but the backpacks still are not in stock.
So it's interesting. So I don't know if, like I said, I can't decide if it's really the warehouses out or if it's just they're not able to get the supplies because they're running out of everything. So every night, right, they only have so much time to be able to restock things. So do they just say, okay, we'll get these things restocked tonight and then the next day we'll get those things restocked? How do you do that? They have to have a whole separate team probably just for Galaxy's Edge.
Well, and think about it. I mean, you can only make things so fast, right? And
the other thing too is depending where is the warehouse that houses these things versus Galaxy's Edge. Is it right there? Is it on the complete opposite end of the resort?
Well,
I don't know.
Then you got to think 2 months from now, almost 2 months from now, a whole nother one of these is going to open in Florida.
Yeah. So how many of these things are actually currently in Florida? Are they going to have to try and break into those stocks? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
So Oga's Cantina. So
I think this is good news.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
So they've gone through a bunch of iterations over the reservation period and now to figure out Oga's Cantina because it is definitely the hit. Everybody wants to get in there.
Well, and you can only, it's not a big area, which makes sense because it's supposed to feel, you're supposed to be very immersed in the world. So why would they have this huge, huge space to be able to get all of the guests in? I'm glad that they didn't do that. I'm glad that they're trying to stay true to this planet or this land's story. But it's all by reservation now, which is good because you're not waiting in line for hours and hours and hours just to get into the cantina. But it's also bad because the reservations are getting snatched up almost instantly.
Yep.
They do only allow you to be in the cantina. They issue you separate cards. So when you're in line waiting to get in, you get this brown card. And somehow that marks your space in line so that they know kind of who's next to get let in once other people leave. Once you get into the cantina, you get a different colored card. I believe it's green. And they actually use that card to mark this is the time that you enter the cantina.
Because to hold you to the 45 minutes.
Yep, because you're only allowed to be in there for 45 minutes. And then they also mark on that card to make sure that you get the one required drink, but you don't exceed the two maximum drinks while you're in there.
Yeah. So these, if you're going in the next little bit when they're doing this, which I foresee this is going to be the thing for a while.
I think so, too.
Is at 7 a.m. Pacific time. That is when it opens up to get into the reservation. So you got to go in the app or onto the website and you go in and you select the date. It'll give you the time periods that are available and you book them. So I think I read earlier, I don't have it in front of me, but I think I read that these carry the same cancellation requirements, like if you were to make like a reservation for any other dining experience, where I think it's like $10 per person.
Sure.
So if you don't show up, you're getting charged $10 mm-hmm. for like, bad on you for taking Subwood's spot. You're paying for it.
Yeah. And the other thing too to note is just because they're, you know, they only have so many slots and everything is booked up for that day, that doesn't necessarily mean that you still can't get into the cantina that day, because as we all know, cancellations and changes happen all the time. So it doesn't hurt to keep checking your app throughout the day. I do think that they have been very good about trying to keep that as up to date as possible. So if something opens up, it might be on there. Also, it doesn't hurt to go up to the front. I don't know what they're called, but the host or the hostess.
Sure.
I'm sure there's some very fancy
term for it
because we are at the cantina, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I'm sure you can go up to the cast member and ask, you know, if they know of any reservations or whatever, because sometimes they're able to sneak you in. That happened to us at Be Our Guest in Walt Disney World. I really, really wanted to go there. We looked. There were no reservations for the period of time that we were going to be there. So I kind of had given up hope on it. We were walking past it, and I was looking longingly at Sleeping Beauty's at
Belle's Castle.
Belle and the Beast's Castle. And all of a sudden, I saw this family walk up, and they just casually asked the host if they had any reservations. The host said, how many are in your party? They answered, and they said, are they all here now? They said yes, and they got walked right in. So I thought, well, so I went up and I did the same thing, and they got us in right away. Same thing has happened to me at Blue Bayou, where they say there are no reservations. Last time, actually, it was the Fantasmic showing. We didn't have a reservation for our Fantasmic dining package. I just went up and asked if they had any openings, and they did. So you never know. You never know.
So the same thing with Oga's is the same thing with Savvy's. So you do the same thing. You go in, you pick your time. That's when you come back. It'll send you a thing.
I like this, though, because then you're not having to wait now, hours and hours in line.
Savvy's Workshop also has the same reservation period where you go in, you pick the date, you pick the time, and get a little reservation. Now, the thing with Savvy's that you got to be aware of, if you do not show up, they are charging you the $200.
Ooh, that's steep.
So
I get it, though.
Do not make a reservation unless you are certain you want to do this and that you are not going to miss your reservation, because they will charge you. And I have a feeling that they're not going to be sympathetic to sob stories at City Hall.
Yeah. Ooh.
But I think that's good, because you don't have a bunch of people going, oh, well, we might make it over there, so let's eat it up. And then they don't show up. Right. And then people that really want to do it.
Let's book the space just in case, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it's good that they're kind of holding you to it, because there are so, so many people wanting to get in and experience these very unique things that you can do only in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. So I think in general, I think they've done an amazing job with the land. I think that they are doing an even more amazing job thinking on their feet.
Yeah.
And changing things and making things work.
Crowd control, all that stuff. Just
I do
crazy.
Wonder, I think you brought this up a couple weeks ago when we talked about this. I do wonder how many of these contingency plans they had come up with prior.
Right? Did they have contingency plan A through Z? Or
yeah.
They just
and they're like, well, A is not working. Let's move to B. Let's move to C. Let's move to D. Or is this like, we see that this is a problem. Frontline cast members, what do you think might work? Sure, let's try that.
It might be a combination of both.
I have to imagine, though, with things like these cards, like this is something they'd have printed up. So they have to have something going. So, well, all I know is I hope that they can restock the merchandise because they are obviously printing money at this place.
Yeah, very, very popular merchandise. Mm-hmm. Very popular. Well, but the only place you can get it, besides eBay, is in Galaxy's Edge. So,
by the way,
I get why it's so popular. It's not like you can go over to World of Disney and pick up the same thing.
Can we implore all of our listeners to please, please, please do not buy something on eBay? Because it's just encouraging these people. I get it if, like, it's gone and you can't buy it in the park anymore, like it's something that they don't offer anymore. But for something like this, please don't encourage these people, because it's just making it a bad experience for people who are there and families. Imagine if you had like a small child who all they wanted was a Kyber crystal, and they get there and you've been waiting months, years maybe, because your child loves Star Wars. They love Obi-Wan and they want a blue lightsaber with a blue Kyber crystal, and they get there and they can't get one.
And they're gone. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a rock and a hard spot, because I do think that there are some diehard fans like you and I that aren't able to go to the resort as soon as possible. We see these things online and you just get this instance, oh my gosh, I have to have it. I get that there's those people, the diehard fans that are trying to get their hands on this merch ASAP that aren't able to go to the resorts themselves. So to me, it's a double-edged sword. It stinks, but I can understand why somebody would go on eBay to get it. Now, I don't agree with people hiking the prices up and making a profit off of it. I don't like that.
One last thing I wanted to say. Blog Mickey got a comment from Disney, and they stated the average wait for a guest who entered with the virtual queue for Star Wars on opening day was an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
By the late afternoon, Disney states that the virtual queue was no longer needed and guests could simply walk into the land. They also reported an average wait of 45 to 60 minutes for Smuggler's Run.
That's crazy. So we're not even going to compare Universal to Disney. Just let's compare Disney to Disney. Right?
Well, Pandora.
Yeah. The wait times on Pandora were astronomical, just awful. And I would bet money that Star Wars is a more popular franchise than the Avatar franchise. But crazy, crazy wait times that they had for Pandora.
So their wait time is still in the 2 hour. Yeah, in the 75 minute to 2 hour period still.
Mm-hmm. Just nuts.
Yeah.
What about for the Navi River?
Oh, depending on crowd level. So it looks like from about 75 to 2 hours.
So still longer wait times for the Pandora
attractions.
Yeah. Mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Did any of our listeners, any of you guys listening, did you guys experience Galaxy's Edge yet? If you haven't, are you waiting answer the question I asked earlier?
Do you think
that, what's your reason for not going if you haven't gone yet? Are you just not interested in Star Wars? Are you a big Star Wars fan? You're waiting for Rise of the Resistance? Are you thinking that Disney bet really big on this and maybe it's not as many people want to see it?
Or what's your reason? An annual pass holder who's just waiting for your blackout period to end?
I keep forgetting about
when
that.
The pass holders are able to go.
Let us know on social media. You can find us almost everywhere at DL Weekly. You can email us feedback@dlweekly.net. So let us know.
Or I'm going to give them another option. Oh. Do you think it's just a perfect storm of all of these things combined?
True.
That's really what I feel. It's the perfect storm.
We should do a Twitter poll.
Let's do a poll.
Want a way to chat with us and other listeners of the show about anything Disney Parks related? Well, you can head over to dlweekly.net/forum to be taken to our forums. Forums are free and open to everyone to chat about Disney parks all around the world. So head on over and make a quick post about yourself in the introductions forum and join in on the discussion.
Did you enjoy listening to this episode of DL Weekly? You can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you'd like access to our supporter chat that we're chatting about all the time, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like KDC and head over to dealweekly.net/support. Well, now it's time to return to James over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
And we want to thank Elizabeth K., Dylan H., Barbara B., and Ryan H. for probably stumping us this week.
Don't sell yourself short. There's good opportunity. You got...
Well, you gave us a softball in the beginning, so...
Well, thank Elizabeth for that
one. Thanks, Elizabeth K.
So your alleged softball is, what is the first Disney attraction to incorporate audio animatronics?
And we said the Tiki Room.
I believe we said in the Tiki, 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 Tiki Room.
That's right. The Enchanted Tiki Room.
You know, I think I'm slowly learning this might be higher on my favorite attraction list than I had given it credit for previously.
Where did you think it was previously?
Not as high as it is now. I don't know.
Why have you come to this conclusion?
It was kind of one of those I felt like I always had to do it, but now I realize how much I enjoy it.
Oh. Yeah, it's always been one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic.
It is a classic, but
Not to say that I like all the classics.
It's not really, see, but it's not a ride. I think that's why I've kind of discounted it.
It's more of a show.
It's a show.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't really consider it to be one of my favorite attractions. Because when I think attractions, I think that I'm in a ride vehicle and going through
something. So Pirates, Haunted, Indiana Jones.
Exactly. Gotcha. Yep.
All right.
Question two from Dylan H. Our audio question for the week. What restaurant can you find this version of Winnie the Pooh?
And we both said the Carthay Circle.
Yeah.
And you're both right.
Woo!
Nice work.
Nice big band, piano, classy sound.
I was going to say, that's kind of what gave it away. It sounded like it was something upscale. And I was like, there's only a couple places that are upscale.
Well, and honestly, without the hint, I would have almost put it somewhere potentially in Downtown Disney. I was wondering if it was maybe the Jazz Kitchen, because it was very jazzy sounding to
me. Yeah, I was thinking that it was going to be somewhere maybe in Disneyland, not in California Adventure. So I'm glad he gave us that clue.
Yeah, thank Dylan for that clue.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan.
Question three from Barbara B., the stumper of the week. What is the significance of the address 1401 Flower Street?
And I said I was stumped, so I have no answer. So I get an automatic zero.
I had two random guesses. It has something to do with Bambi, which is a really random guess. And then I said it had to do something with like Walt's boyhood, so like his childhood home.
And nope. 1401 Flower Street is the longstanding address of Walt Disney Imagineering on the Glendale campus.
Oh, we went completely not that far.
No.
Good question.
Good question, Barbara.
They've got a whole bunch of other addresses, but they've maintained that one as the official original. And according to Barbara, it probably has one of the best commissaries on the campus, too. So, good place to stop.
I want to know how she knows.
Maybe she's been.
That's true. We should take a tour of the studios at some point. They have one of those tour things.
I believe Barbara actually used to work for Disney.
Oh. Yeah, I remember.
She did.
Yeah.
She worked for the Disney store.
Because her source says, I used to work for Disney and visited the campus at least 5 times a year.
Oh.
Wow. So, very cool.
All right. Thanks, Barbara.
And our last question this week from Ryan H. Similar to Galaxy's Edge, partial completion on opening day Disneyland was also not complete due to a trade strike in California. Your two questions, who was on strike and what was left unfinished?
So the plumbers, I assume union, was on strike, and they decided the toilets were more important
than a drinking fountain. So yeah. The drinking fountains were not finished.
Because people could buy drinks in the park, they can't just go to the bathroom.
And it's funny because they're going to add on that, because remember, was it Coke was a sponsor and they had Coke products, so everyone thought that it was a ploy to get the guests to buy more Coke, them not having drinking fountains.
Well, according to Ryan, Walt did say they can buy a Coke or Pepsi, but they can't pee in the streets.
Yes,
so
exactly.
See, I remember something like that.
You are right, plumbers and drinking fountains.
Is that 2 points?
2 points.
Whoop, whoop. This was a good week.
Big scoring week.
And we were so nervous about this week.
Teresa, you and I got 4 points, except for out of 5. So that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Thank you, Elizabeth K., Dylan H., Barbara B., and Ryan H., for giving us questions that we can actually answer this
week. Great questions this week. Not just because we were able to get them, but just good questions all around.
And thank you, Producer James, for picking these together where you didn't just sprinkle them in one at a time so we get one good answer a week.
Yeah, sometimes I gotta help you. And if you want to help me give them this great opportunity, whether letting them get the answers right or stumping them, you can send me an email. My email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.